Blog Talk Radio.
Because of reliance shall break every chain. Conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
Brother Maher, both of you guys on?
Yes, sir.
I'm on. This is Nader.
We on. How you guys been doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I've been busy. So I had to miss some weekends.
Same here.
Well, Brother Drew, I'm going to bring back some good memories, boy, of when Kaheem was teaching in the canal.
Right.
And we're going to share with the listening audience what we learned over a period of years of studying 7 days a week, because me and Cole did it 7 days a week. It was about 10 of us did it 7 days a week, because we were drawing unemployment. And we were studying. That was great. We studied sometimes 16, 17 hours a day with grandbabies with us. The grandbabies would be with us right there studying with us, too. Some of them was like, I think Day-Day was maybe about 4 years old. One was 3 years old, because we had our grandchildren there in the canals all day long studying with us. And I've noticed something, Brother Drew and Brother Mahab, that we have studied a lot of people
black scholars, white scholars. And we got a lot of books on those people. But I don't see, out of all the books I read and the people I know, has ever studied the history in the order that we studied this history. We studied this history by using the five W's, the one H, chronological order, and etymology. The reason we studied that history the other way is because the Cole had us to read Genesis the 10th according to everyone's tongue. So when we read that according to everyone's tongue, that means that etymology was the key to the study of what we were doing, how we were going to study. So the next thing is the chronological order. That means who was number one, who was number two, who was number three. And we ask ourselves who, what, when, how, why, and where did it come from? When you do that, on all the questions that derive, then you don't make any mistakes. And when we was breaking down this Bible, studying this book, Bible, word for word, me and Cole was, and Ishmael, and Brother Drew was in there with us, and you came later, Brother Mahal. But I'm talking about the people that was with us from, Brother Drew was with us from the beginning, him and his family, to the point that where his son at 12 years old was teaching us Hebrew. That's how tough we was down there. His son was teaching us the ancient, and we learned how to say our olivates from a three-year-old baby. Well, we know that children, you could be taught by children. So when we look at this Bible, we dissect this Bible, we can have some good Bible lessons like Coach taught us. We dissect this Bible, first of all, we find out who the author of this book is. This is the 1881 King James Version of the Bible. Oh, the 1523 Tyndale Bible, which was William Shakespeare's Tyndale Bible. That's where this book came out of. This book was wrote by some ecclesiastic masons that didn't want you to know the secrets under this book, because there was a certain way that you had to read this book to understand it, that the layman would never, even if you had a doctor's degree, you wouldn't understand it till you break down this book, how it is written. And they told, they tell you in books how they wrote it. They, in the Bible, they tell you how this book is written. So we're going to break down this Bible. First, we're going to break it down and see what we got. We got something called the New Testament, the Gospel, and the New Testament. Now, we're going to start with Old Testament. The Old Testament, when we studied this book, is not called Old Testament. It's called the Ways of Abraham. That's what the Old Testament is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way of Abraham. It is the history of Japheth's children who lived in the Caucasus Mountains, who lived in the northern hemisphere. This book is broke down with two kingdoms, Yasharal and Yehuda, which is Israel and Judah in this language. We have to use their language to understand, because we're studying up on the etymology. This book, these two kingdoms, had 21 kings, and the other one had 19 kings. Every last one of those things was corrupted. That went out of the ways of Abraham. As this tribe, this particular tribe, went amongst the people and became conquered by these people, started marrying into these people, they started worshiping our God, the God of these people. This is what this book will tell you, and went out of the ways of Abraham. Now, where the secret lies is that you are dealing with a book that's called the Old Testament, which is actually the Torah and the Tanakh, which is not Christianity, but Judaism. These books are in Judaism, and the Torah and Tanakh ain't a Bible. This is what you got to know about what you're reading when you read this 1881 King James Bible that you say is the Word of God, that you go by, that all angelic gospel Christian epistle teaching of the Western Hemisphere go by, upon the Paulinian doctrine, and that's later on, way down the road, we get to brother the Paulinian doctrine. But we first got to understand in a chronological order is where we do this. It's going to probably take more than this hour. We probably don't have to go in. I want to go in when Cole is playing the Nazarene, for the Mayan or political down there, and we're going to understand who it is. Now, this first book, first five books in the Bible is called Torah. Torah don't start with Genesis. Torah starts with Bereshit, which means the reconstruction. Right. See, yes. It ain't the beginning. It ain't the beginning. This is a reconstruction of these two nations of people. This is their history. This is the history of Judah and Israel that you find in the Old Testament. In that book, Deuteronomy is not called Deuteronomy, it's called Devarim. Devarim means the law. Meaning that the ways of Abraham had a certain order that you was in. And it had got so corrupt at a time period that only a few sects, they had to break off as sects to keep the old ways of Abraham. See, the old ways of Abraham had 613 priesthood laws, 613 immoral laws, which the Christians say you live up on the grace throne, and in these moral laws when we study is where you find your dietary laws. And you can see that by this time, certain period in time, we're living under grace from God to 2023, you can understand why this book warns you against eating certain foods of the God. This is what this New Testament is about. And you want to, before we go to the gospel, you got something else you want to describe about when we read this New Testament is the history and the story of these people serving other people gods that they started off as Yehuda and Yasharal, but this is the history of them breaking away from the teaching of Abraham, the original teaching. before we get to the gospel. Go ahead on, Brother Mahara.
Okay. First of all, greetings to the listening audience. Shalom to all the listeners. Yeah. The preface or the introduction that they used to print in most of the Bibles, they give you different information today in the prefaces, which is it is not congruent with what the original stated purpose was when they started working on these translations. So there's an introduction that, and this is taken from a site, Bible Research, English versions, King James, and it says the preface. So it goes into the best thing, like for the translators to the reader. So that's one huge paragraph, okay? And they talk about the best things have been culminated. And here they talk about what you just mentioned, Brother Dawadia, that really you was dealing with the coming together of the two kingdoms. You had Judah, and then you had the ten tribes, which still had retained the name Yisrael. Now, they jump down into the, you know, I'm going to skip and go down to some of the pieces here where they talk about how these translators, and you can read, you can actually hear what their intent was. Check this out. So watch this. This is that same page I was talking about. And I'm going to post this up on the Facebook group page too, because this is something good to have. And I'm just going to save it as a PDF. I thought I had it saved, but luckily I had the bookmark saved. So it says the translation of the Old Testament out of the Hebrew into Greek. This is very interesting to pay attention to where they're taking everyone. Now, here's how they say this. It says, while God will be known only in Jacob and have his name great in Israel, that's the two groups, okay? It says, and in one other place, okay, it says, while the dew lay in Gideon's fleece only, and all the earth besides was dry, and go on. So let me jump down to this juicy piece here, because you're going to see how they did what they did. Check this out. Watch this. It says, us being, talk about the people being scattered abroad. It says, then lo, check this out. Here's the doctrine. It pleased the Lord to stir up the spirit of a Greek prince. It says, even of Ptolemy, Philadelphia, king of Egypt. Did you hear that? So in this case, Ptolemy is this Lord, because what does the Vatican refer to him as? And they do it every Easter. They say they say that it is in honor of him, and they do this on Easter, where they refer to him as Epiphanius, because that's supposed to be his self-realization that he's a god, right? And it says, yea, Epiphanius, above named, doth attribute much unto it, and holdeth the authors thereof not only for interpreters, but also for prophets in the same respect. So they're telling you they went left with this thing. And Justinian, the emperor, enjoining the Jews, his subjects, to use especially the translation of the 70. So the translation of the 70 is not going back to Moses' time. The translation of the 70 were those who were commissioned to take it out of his original Hebrew writing and put it into the Greek. Now, you've got to keep in mind, and I must say this, okay, when you go back and you look at language, the etymology of language, the epistemology of how things are set up and why they are stated the said way that they're stated. The original Greek was in the same manner, the same character set that the ancient character set that the kingdom of Judah, as well as the northern tribes, was already using. So when you lean on, for example, the book of Daniel and is talking about there was a prophecy about this prince, what he was going to do, and, of course, the book's being laid open. And he did read in therein the prophecy pertaining to him, meaning Alexander the Great, okay? Alexander was able to read it for himself, not the stuff they have called Greek today. That's not even Greek, you know, past Greek, my past so-called Greek girlfriend in the, back in the day. Her entire Bible is in what they call today Greek. She says that's not actually Greek. It's Kiani. I said, whoa. Is Kiani Greek? No, it's not Greek. And then she talked about the various different dialects. So she said in terms of biblical writing, they sought to put it in Kiani. Now, still staying on task with this language about Greek, going from Old Testament Hebrew to the Greek, the character set that Ptolemy chose to use, it is properly defined even in Webster's International Dictionary as demotic, okay? So I repeated it twice for effect, okay? That's what it's called. That were, those characters are mathematical old Egyptian Coptic symbols. So anyone taking calculus, physics, chemistry, anything like that, pre-calculus, you know, you learn what they call, what they present before you, the Greek alphabet. Those characters was not used in language. It was used for mathematics. And it still is used for mathematics today. Delta X over delta Y, sigma rho, all this sort of stuff. That's all mathematics. And those symbols, Ptolemy lifted from that era. And then he was crowned as Soter. Soter rep means, or we get the English word, a suitor. This person is a proper suitor. That means savior. So the Catholic Church on Easter, on their Easter Sunday, they offer up what is called the Eucharistic prayer. So Ptolemy's new coordinated name, Charist, is where you get the English word Christ from. So the right. Old English, if you were to spell it from ancient Egyptian, you don't say C-H. It's K-A-R-A-S-T, Charist, okay? Where later on, like I just mentioned a moment ago, it's now C-H-R-I-S-T. Now, that word Charist means a good man. Christoia is a good woman. So it's not about being a god. It's not even the word that they told you today means anointed. Nothing to do with that, okay? It's how it was used. But back to Alexander. Alexander was able to read with his own eyes because the original Greek was written right to left. Kiani today is not right to left. It's left to right, just like mm-hmm. Latin. It's left to right, okay? Mm-hmm. And, of course, Latin, as well as Greek, well, let me separate this, okay? Let me correct myself. Latin is out of Hebrew, which is even if you take a trip to what they call Mexican Spanish, it contains a minimum of 4,000 Shemitic words in its language. Okay? So that's why you can find these guys coming out of Mexico, and they got the name Medina, and they got the name Israel, and they got all these other kind of names too that you go, hold up, wait a minute, Ismelda. Whoa, where you get this name from? Because you wouldn't think that that is normally a Spanish name. But Latin itself is from the old Shemitic language. Greek is related to what they speak today. That is related to Slavic or Baltic tongue. This is why it's important to pay attention to language. Because now when you're reading something that they have presented before you. So people say they read that New Testament in Greek. Well, there's one problem with that. Because with that comes their gods. And so now you're uttering and saying words that has nothing to even do with, if you want to be honest, with Latin. Let me give you an example. So they will say Yehovah, Yehewa, Yahweh, okay? In Latin, it's Jove, Jove, okay? It's still linked to the old Shemitic tongue, but that's not what you get if you slide over to what they're calling Greek today, or its proper name is Kiani. And the Greek character set, Kiani, if you lay the character set side by side with the Russian alphabet, which is called the Cyrillic alphabet, when you look at those characters, many of those characters are the same, practically in shape, and the sounds are the same. Okay, so that's all I needed to say on that, because I had to fix people's mind back to translation. So let me get back into reading this to finish edifying what I heard you saying, Brother Dawadia. So they said, let me get back to where I was at. Where is it at? It says, so they said, it pleased the Lord to stir up the spirit of Greek prince, Greek of descent and language, Ptolemy, Philadelphia, king of Egypt. And it says, to procure the translating of the book of God out of Hebrew into Greek. That was not necessary during Alexander's time, because the original language they were all speaking, including their original quote-unquote Greek alphabet, was the same as the Hebrew alphabet, letter for letter. 22 letters in the Hebrew old alphabet, 22 letters in the original Greek alphabet. And remember what I said, they wrote the same way, right to left. So Alexander could walk over. It's just a matter of maybe dialect if you're talking to somebody face-to-face, but you should still be able to read clearly what is printed. That's why we weren't even using vowels back in the day of putting the Nakud system, they call it today, which got implemented around 800 AD, to give it its dialectal thing. So Sephardic Hebrew, it sounds a little different than Ashkenazic Hebrew, if you want to call it that, and even Yiddish, okay? Take the vowels away, and you should immediately recognize the consonants, which is going to tell you what that verb is that you're looking at, and you don't need anyone to help you. So the original Alexander and even Ptolemy and all these cats and Seleucus and all of them, they could read right to left. Ptolemy took it off that system, and he put it into an entirely different system based on something completely different than what Alexander himself was known to have known and was able to do. So continuing, he says here, so he took it, he said Hebrew into Greek. And he said, this is the translation of the 70 interpreters. See, Moses had 70 also, so we ain't going to talk about that right now, because they're mentioned as the doctors of law back in the Torah part, okay? But this is not who these 70 are. It says, translation of the 70 interpreters, commonly so-called, which prepared the way, watch this, which prepared the way for our Savior among the Gentiles by written preaching. Who is this Savior? Ptolemy, Soter Eucharist. That's who their Savior is, a dude in a skin suit who was where? Down in Egypt, king of Egypt. So they're telling you, and it says he prepared the way for, he said, our Savior among the Gentiles by written preaching. And he says, as St. John the Baptist did, and they go on and on and on and on. They also tell you in this preface, and I'm not going to read all that right now, but they do tell you that they omitted, and they added in where they saw fit. But they tell you up front in one of these paragraphs that although they weren't prophets and as such, they did their best to be as prophets. So you see, you can hear the shenanigans unfolding in their own writing. And this used to be at the front, before you got to Genesis, a lengthy explanation of how you come to have this book called the Bible. And you know, Bible is linked to the word. They tell you it means books and all this. No, no. The word Bible in English is from Babel. And what do they say when you're babbling? You're saying all kinds of stuff when you're babbling. Some of it makes sense and some of it does not. What do you want to add to this, bro? And I'm searching for what I need right this second. Excuse me for coughing. But I am looking for this other stuff.
It's called Babel.
Mm-hmm.
The language that we're speaking right now is called Babel.
Yeah.
We did a lecture on that. And I want to add something else to you why it's on my mind. When you heard Brother Mahal talk about the people in different regions, they the same tribe, they are kindred. They kinfolk, but they have different accents. And their language is so simple, they got the same language with a different accent. The second degree in the Masonic masonry is Boaz. If I'm shaking your hand and hit you on the second knuckle, that's Boaz. In between that knuckle, if I place my hand there, I'm saying Jakeen and Shipley. The word Shipley means that the Southern Kingdom, they couldn't pronounce that word, Shipley.
Yeah, actually, to be specific, the
right.
tribe of Benjamin could not,
right.
and it's in the Old Testament. So everybody else said Shipley, S-H, and they would do the dialect. If they wrote it, you would know
right.
what they were saying. But when they said
right.
it, which is dialect, they said Sipule. Now, it took them fighting some battles before it reached to the point of, because they said the tribe of Benjamin was whipping and knocking the snot out of these guys. And they said, damn, we can't defeat them. And so they came up with a password, and somehow they came up right. past this password that the password to pass through, which means that you weren't on the enemy side in the enemy camp, include, which means Benjamin, is that the challenge was whatever the word was, and the password to get through was Shipley, but when they encountered somebody from Benjamin, they said Shipley. And
yeah.
that's how they knew, because they all look alike.
Right.
They all look alike. Come on, man.
Yeah.
A Negro is a Negro is a Negro. 20, all day. They all looked alike.
And see, the reason they look alike is that when we are studying the history of the children of Japheth, that's what the Old Testament is about. It's their history. It's the history of what we call white folks now. But it's the history of Japheth, and Ashkenazah wrote this history. That's their cousins. In that, Ashkenazah told you that Magog, Gog, and Tubal were these evil people that had came out of their tribe, went through a reformation from the original to become this albino man. They told you that when they wrote. This is what the Old Testament men is about. It's about the history of how Magog, Gog, and Tubal, how did these people, Japheth's children, lose the pigmentation of their skin?
And they still here because, as you will verify,
why,
brother,
why
you will verify
the history of their cousins.
And also, Brother Dawadia, just verify that before they became known and taking on the names as Ashkenazah and all of this, right, they were known as what? Sumeri people. In English,
right.
Samaritan. That is an order
right.
in the Masonic Lodge.
Right.
The Samaritans. But what does that word Sumer mean? It means someone who is a thorn in your eye, a thorn in your side. And what did it say in the Torah portion? The Torah portion, it says that because, and they were also known by other names too, Amorites and all this other kind of stuff, the Amri, these other different names they were known as. It said that they would, because we did not go in and eradicate well, I shouldn't say we. I'm just saying, according to the storyline in the book, because a certain people did not go into and got rid of all of them and eradicated all of them and let most of them live and all this other stuff. He said they will be with you till the end of your days. And they were already named as the – and in Quran, they call Samiri. So they think that's the name of a guy. That's not the name of a guy. So when Moses was out there, who was the one who said, who was chiding them, who was the leader of these people known as Samir, the Samaritans? And you know that the Samaritans have their own Tanakh today.
Right.
They have their own Tanakh, and there are differences. They had their own Jerusalem and a few other things as well, too. And what does it say in the New Testament? Go not to where? The Samaritans. He was really clear about don't go with these, go over there. Something's effed up with these people. Do not go to them, nor to the Gentiles. That's in the book of Matthew.
We go get that's second part. We ain't in the gospel yet. We still back over here with the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
The Old Testament is a story of how the children of Japheth made a transformation, mixed their seeds, become other nations of people. Now, we are down to Ashkenaza, which is the Jews, and they're telling their history. They're telling their story. We're telling their story of what they put off into this Bible. They warned their people about Magog, Gog, and Tubal.
Which is a Gentile. These are Gentiles. These are the Germanic race of people as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
They give you warning. This is how we know that a preacher that look like me and my half brother Drew can't read and they ain't never read this goddamn Bible is because the Bible got stolen in it that if you obey it, you'll be saved from it. But if you knew the story, because the story is about you, of what happened to the descendants of sin, and when these people came across the water and conquered the Western Hemisphere,
mm-hmm.
when they came over here. But the story begins in a chronological order, and that's what we're going in. You first had to understand who Magog, Gog, and Tubal is. In today's society, that would be Russia, Germany, America, and Great Britain. These are the people that we're talking about that we call white people, the Germanic race of people. This is their history in a chronological order. We're not going to get ahead of it. Because we got to give the story just like it is in a chronological order so we can understand it. We can understand it that this is called the Goheen.
This is what he called his cousins. These are cousins here.
Mm-hmm.
Goheen. His cousin called him a Jew. That's what his cousin called him. And so you got to understand the key part is the language. See, in the 10th chapter of Genesis, they gave you a clue. It says, by these are the isles of a Gentile divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue. It's a comma there.
Mm-hmm.
After their families, it's another comma there. That means your ass supposed to pause. That's what my big mama said. And understand what the hell they talking about. They talking about tongue. They talking about language. So we got a problem here. After their families in their nations, period. In their nation, meaning that they going to be brothers and sisters, but they going to have a different tongue. That matters. This is how you understand that
why we speak in a language that they call English. This is the tongue of who? The American. This is, it ain't English. That's a goddamn lie. But that,
now check
that's
this out.
Too far back. Yeah.
You just check this out. Okay, so this is still on that bookmark page I was on, right? I found what I was looking for. It's not a long read. Check this out. So they brought Jerome into the picture, right? The people they refer to as Saint Jerome, and they talked about the Council of Nicaea. They mentioned all of that up in here, the apostles or the apostolic men, okay? So there's a difference between the two, right? Now, it goes down here and it says – watch this. So they mentioned St. Jerome, right? This is the introduction that used to be in the front of most King James Bibles that are no longer in most of the King James Bibles explaining this. So it said, Jerome affirmeth as much. It says that the 70 were interpreters. So there's another 70 of interpreters here. Okay? You see how it's going on? There's another group of 70. It say, watch this. They were not prophets. They did many things well as learned men, but yet as men, they stumbled and fell. One well through oversight, another while through ignorance, yea, sometimes they may be noted to add to the original, and sometimes to take from it, which made the apostles to leave them many times. When they left the Hebrew, and to deliver the sense thereof according to the truth of the word as the Spirit gave them utterance, this may suffice touching the Greek translations of the Old Testament. Did you hear that smorgasbord of a major level of confusion on the monstrosity level? Did you hear what these people said? So let me, if I may, let me use a term that I use once in a while. You come with the original stuff, Brother Dawadia, okay? And you say, here it is. This is the original tongue it's written in. They, as we say out here in the street, they throw a bitch fit. And then they take and go in a whole other direction with it while still fussing at you and putting up an attitude with you like they've been out there drinking and smoking dope. That's what we're looking at right here. And then when they're pleased with their new furnished and polished up product, they run amok with it in the world. And whoever, because it's like if it doesn't make sense, somebody say, when it doesn't add up, start subtracting. Immediately. Hold on. No, this doesn't make sense. What are you telling me? So, yeah, and the Lord, who's your Savior? Well, who's the Savior you're talking about? Jesus. Okay, well, hold up. You said Jesus, right? Right. That means you're talking about Ptolemy. Right, because I know what the Catholic Church pushes out. Right. And they venerate that guy's name. Right, that he suffered for them. Right. So he is what? Eucharist. Epiphany. Soter. Meaning right there, that word right there is like he's your Savior. Yeah, but he's not mine. And is he still living? Where is he at? Show me. Or is he just some fictional name that they pulled out their rear ends? And they created the story about him being possibly the king of Egypt. You know, there's just too many holes in this thing. So what they have to do is just you posing those questions really loaded with the as we say, with the ammunition that's going to handle the business, like they say, close with and handle them. That's the part they don't want you to come to mentally first. They don't want you to come to that. But the way that Albert Pike and all of them put it together, that's all part of a design anyway, bro. You know, you're familiar with morals and dogma. You know what Albert Pike said. That third final configuration is going to be all those representing all these religions, destroying, wearing each other out, and especially they're going to realize that all the heaven, that's Islam, Judaism, all of it, they're going to realize that what the layman, the lay people. They're going to realize that what they've been handed, and using Coe's word, was a large bag of wolf cookies, which means when you open up the bag, there's nothing in it because there's no such thing as a wolf cookie. It doesn't exist. But we can keep telling you that there, that over there, that bag that's on the table, as long as we prevent you from going to that bag, that there's wolf cookies in there. We can keep telling you that. And that's what now, they've been doing.
Brother Mahal, we look at what this Bible, the story that's in this Bible, it tells us that Magog and Gog conquered the children of Ham, then the children of Ham, and then came across the water and conquered the people that lived over here. And
right.
My first conquest was in the land of Shem. They let you know that in the 11th chapter of Genesis.
They and it also picks up the story again in the book of Ezekiel.
Yeah.
In chapter 38, it talks about Gog and Magog. But let's add a little flavor to that, real piece. Let me give you a little bit of color flavor to it. According to Cherokee history, the original Gog people who came here, they were black. It said that the first time they came over in a wave to attack us, we repelled the attack. I learned that in Native history in the Warrior Society. They got all this old stuff, too, just like when you pull it up, they got old stuff, too. And they mentioned who they were and what they looked like. And they didn't classify themselves as us. They did not. But we knew who they were. And so in Cherokee, we have a word when we talk about them. So the word Agag from the Old Testament, remember Agag? King Agag, who was king of who? The Edomites. Okay? That's Old Testament. That's during King David's time. Agag. And remember, they've been causing problems. They, that line, have been causing problems for a minute because you get to the book of Esther, and then you've got this guy named Haman. What is Haman?
Right.
Haman is an Agagite. When you read, you're going to run into that. So in Cherokee, the word is Agigagay. Gay means which is a Hebrew word, old word, which means face and appearance or the countenance thereof. It's what you look like. And then we are called, Brother Dawadia, Ganagay. That word Gan is in the Old Testament in Hebrew too. What is that? The garden? A form of paradise on earth. And then we say Ganagay. If you Google the word Ganagay today in Cherokee, they're going to say it means Negro, it means black. That's not its first definition. First definition is in the word itself, gone, garden, paradise, gay, countenance, face, the appearance thereof, gone a gay. That's what it says we are. And we classified who was jumping on us. We called them Agig from Gog, Agigagay. So learning, as you know, me dealing with the languages, it becomes unavoidable and inescapable that when you see what things and how things were called and you look at how they're called now, who uses the term Gog and Magog today? You almost can't recognize nobody like that. Now, are there pale-skinned people who's also of that? Yes. Susan Ogg. Ogg. She's not called Susan Gog, the DA for Harris County in Houston, but they talked about how many votes she won by. 100? Well, there was a war of King Og of Bashan where these giants, allegedly giants, fought against each other in a war where 100 or more or family of giants were involved in battle. And remember, they were talking smack to Abraham. And Moses and the children, quote unquote, of Israel ran into them. And King Og was talking smack to him. Apparently these dudes lived a long time. And you find variants of the name. People with the name Boggs, B-O-G-G-S. I know a bunch of black folks with that name as a family name, and they're out of Wisconsin. Boggs. Why do you have a name like that? And don't tell me some slave master gave you that name. Who are you? And then you step back for a minute and you check them out, how they look, how they built. Some of them built like bears, except they got some melanin. They're built like bears. I don't mean to slight the bears, okay? But I just wanted to mention they're built like bears.
And when we go to the 11th chapter of Genesis, they wrote it down that at one time the whole earth was one language and one speech.
Correct.
They let you know that everybody spoke the same language.
Mm-hmm.
In the sixth chapter of Genesis, it tells you of something happened to a certain tribe, Magog and Gog, and Tubal, which is known as the Germanic race of people. Something happened to them, that they were visited from the Shamanim by God. And
mm-hmm.
they had offsprings by these gods. Well, these gods, they say, came from Mars. This is what they wrote that when we studied their history. And when
mm-hmm.
these gods mixed the seeds with them, the children, they became the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
All of Japan's children. That means all the tribes became children of God. Then the chosen people of God was Ashkenazah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ashkenazah is the golden, is the Jew, and his cousin, Germanic race of people, is the Goyim. So he warned you to stay away from them. At Proverbs 3, verse 31, this is how I know a black preacher came here. He says, envy not your oppressor, choose none of his ways.
Mm-hmm.
The first commandment, since we're running out of time, we'll get back to the gospel, which is 41,618 words, wrote and read that Jesus the Nazarene. We gonna learn that it's three different types of Jesus, and all of that stuff next week. We're going to mm-hmm. all that where scriptures tell you that. See, these Ashkenazah, the Zionists put a message in here. They put a story in here. Hell, it's right here now as we live in today. If you understand how it's written, we breaking down the codes. That's what we're doing, is breaking down the codes.
Right. And let's just whet their appetite with this. Okay, first of all, you mentioned the word gospel, okay? So, you know, gospel is an old Germanic word, all right? It's two words put together. It's a compound word. It's goose tell. Goose tell. G-O-S-T-A-L-E. Now, when you look under the definition of what they're saying, how the word breaks down, it says, one of the definitions says, an intentionally told lie. That's one of the definitions for that word. The second part is given the good news. Every prophet, Abraham, Adam, all these guys, right? They all had, and I'm going to use this word I just got through using, they all had a gospel. Every last one of them. So when they say, and then when you look at what they're saying is in Matthew, there will be wars and rumors of wars and stuff like that. That came from the apocalyptic writing of Daniel from a book that used to be part of the Tanakh, and they removed it. You got the Testament of Daniel. You got the Apocalypse of Daniel. You got the Testament of Ezekiel. You got the Apocalypse of Ezekiel. Abraham and all these guys, Jacob, all of them have these quote-unquote, these writings are associated. So now they didn't plagiarize them while removing those books out of your eyesight. And they've included, but they chopped the story down. There will be wars and rumors of war. Okay, well, that's not only what the Apocalypse of Daniel says. It says that, but it gives it to you by the numbers. What nation is going to fall first? And whoever else. And then finally, the nation of Ham will be taken out last. It says it.
And that's the apocalypse of Daniel
saying it by the numbers.
And another book I had you to teach on that was that people look like us don't know about. Very few people know about it. Especially
we're all skin folk and kinfolk. You got quite a few people running around who ain't us.
Pseudepigrapher. It's some stuff wrote in the
Pseudepigrapher. Yeah, the Pseudepigrapher, the Old Testament Pseudepigrapher. That's about 200 and something Old Testament books that used to be part of the Old Testament. And they removed it. And they named it Pseudepigrapher. They named it, which is a Greek word and a Latin word. They named it that.
And this is what we're sharing with you, all of these studies that we have done to break it down so you see what's been. You didn't obey Proverbs 3, verse 31. That was the first commandment for anybody that looked like me and you and called itself a black Gentile. Was the envy not to oppress and choose none of his ways.
Exactly.
That was. See, that's what Nat Turner read. And then Nat Turner read in Equidus, where it says that if anybody ever took you into slavery, to kill his ass.
Well, yeah, now watch out. Look at Turner. They gave you the English name Turner, right?
If you follow the rules that's written for you in this Bible, you wouldn't have no damn. You wouldn't have the problems you have right now.
Right, and Nat Turner, the name Turner, is English for tunica. He was a tunica black Indian. A lot of people don't know that. And Tunica is Tunis in the Old Testament in Tanakh. You just identify what people, and specifically Nat comes out of. He's out of the Tunica people or the Tunica nation. And then they later on said Turner. Inserted a letter in this guy's ethnic classification.
Is law.
And now everybody black. Come on. Everybody
and
black
see,
now.
And see, when we learn, we got about 2 more minutes. And when we start off the gospel, we're going to start off with the teachings of three Jesus. Jesus the Nazarene, God Jesus, and Jesus the Christ, which is Paulinian teaching. Which we're going to see where you got messed up today in Christianity by envying your oppressor and choosing his ways. You ain't never been taught like this. Once you choose his ways of Magog and God, this book done already told you, you on a road to destruction because he done conquered your mind. He conquered your mind in the Bible through the word called God. He conquered your mind. In this book, when we get to the books that Jesus the Nazarene spoke out of was Isaiah, Deuteronomy, Psalms, and these four books that he taught out of, you're going to see where the book of Isaiah tell you where the Lord was here before God got here. And who is this damn Lord that tells you that was here before God? They tell you ain't no God, your Savior. This word Lord, and you couldn't understand when you read.
No.
You told me that you're reading,
reading is comprehension. It told you don't believe in no gods, especially
in a
God.
Nazarene. A Nazarene is Greek for Nazarite, Nasir,
right.
In Old Testament, Book of Numbers, Chapter 6. Read that entire chapter, including how to pray. So in the churches, they're not doing that. They're putting the name of JC on the people, and that is not how the Nazarene prayer is supposed to go, because who came up with that? Aaron.
It's not
the name of the Lord upon them.
See, the teaching of Jesus Christ came 62 years after the death of the Nazarene. We're going to learn this next week. See, the Nazarene.
Yeah, you're
going to
get into Judas Maccabees now.
See, the Nazarene teaching was in the ways of Abraham, and they were a strict sect. They were dietary laws, everything. They were strict as hell. To the point they
Book of Numbers, chapter 6, that's what they were doing, the way you wear your hair, your white garments, no strong drink. Yeah.
If you broke these laws, they would stone your ass to death or hang your ass on a tree. They didn't play.
Yeah.
Jesus was a revolutionary. Look at his record in Rome. He was a revolutionary. They crucified him because he was a revolutionary. What is
exactly.
Revolutionist mean? Why he tell you to buy your ass a sword? A sword in that day is the same as an AK-47.
Mm-hmm. And he was causing problems for the Roman authorities.
I came here to bring no peace. I came here to bring separation between the mother, the father, the sister, and brother. What the hell is Christianity is today? Ain't it that separation? We're going to get into this deep next week.
So, absolutely.
I say, Yamaha Yahawadah, Yah Abin Yah Ika Kamadiyah.
Kamadiyah.
Kamadiyah, ladies.